sometimes the organic is better. Right there and then happening. So it's a lot of stun for me. I feel organic is cool because like I throw the punch, you react, you bop like this.
This is the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. A podcast dedicated to raw action analysis.
Ooh, my gosh. For fans of action cinema out there, how badass would that be?
Each week, we bring you a new action filmmaker to break down your favorite scenes.
360 off person, round kick the guy from a 360 spin.
Now, introducing your hosts, Darren Tun and Mike Messina.
Hello and welcome back to the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Tun, and with me is my co-host, Mike Messina.
Hello.
This is Shang-Chi week. This week we had Joseph Lei and Vidan on Sunday and Wednesday, so check out those episodes if you haven't already. Today we are introducing Andy Chang Part 1. He is known as a fight coordinator for Shang-Chi and the Legend of Ten Rings. He is also a veteran of the Jackie Chan stunt team, working on films such as Who Am I, Mr. Nice Guy, and Rush Hour 1 and 2. His other works include Into the Badlands, The Rundown, Scorpion King, and Six Underground. Mike, what are some big takeaways from this episode?
Big takeaway number one is he's so chill. We had him on this show for so long and he just kept saying, no, I got time. I'm not working tomorrow. I'll stay as late as you want. And it was crazy how much time, how much information he gave us because he's such a legend, such a master of the craft. He's been doing it for so long. And just one thing that really stood out to me was actually his Taekwondo career that happened before the filmmaking career. Mm. That whole thing is just a sports tournament biopic waiting to happen. It's got three parts. He represented Hong Kong for Taekwondo tournaments three separate times. He got knocked out, disgraced one time, had to claw his way back up, and then knocked out some guy, finally got a medal another time. And in between, he had a fight for his spot on the team by fighting his friend on live television and knocking him out. Like, that's a biopic waiting to happen. Get Cobra Kai out of the way. Get this guy in a lifetime biopic.
You know, like a documentary on him right
now. Yeah.
Another part of this episode that I really, really enjoyed was him talking about his childhood and how he used to do these stunts as a kid. He's talked about previously how he did that Police Story stunt coming down the hill on that piece of cardboard. But he also talks about a different stunt this time. And it was a stunt of him climbing this water pipe. And I believe the pipe broke at some point. And yeah, you got to watch the episode to hear the rest. But it's pretty crazy.
From on top of a building, like the scene
on
in Rush
Hour.
On top
of a building, yes.
Just dangling down, almost dying.
So yeah, without further ado, here is Andy Chang. All right, today's podcast guest, we have Andy Chang. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Darren?
I'm great. So in preparation of this interview, and Mike as well.
Yeah, Mike's doing good too.
just making sure that.
He's going to get it. He's going to get it eventually by the end of this podcast. We were in preparation of this interview. We are actually looking at your Instagram and stuff. And one thing that stood out to me was your son Leo does golf. How's that going? Yes. I was really curious about that.
He's doing really well. He's just finished high school. Now he's getting ready for college golf. And yeah, he have talent, you know, for sure. So I'm trying to support him as much as I can, you know. Hopefully he can pursue his dream, you know, turn pro and you'll see, you know, golf is very, very hard game, you know, there are a lot of boys out there is really, really good, you know, so, but their level is really, really high. And recently he got qualified for US Amateur, the final. So he's like a second youngest player make it. So yeah, it's a good experience, you know, he didn't go too far, but he finished in the final. And let's see, you know. Are you paying golf?
Yeah, I saw that picture from the Toyota Tour Cup.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but we're both amateurs at golf. But that was one thing that stood out to me, was that Leo does golf. Yeah,
when he's 10 years old, you know, he did the very cool golf tournament he won in Augusta. It's like a little kid tournament for, you know, master. So that's 2014 is the first year. First year, and he won the final.
Oh, nice.
And he's still like 8 years now.
Wow.
He's still the boys' record. He's still a boys' record. Nobody beat his record yet.
Wow. Did you sort of get him into that, or did you play golf before, or did he sort of do that himself?
No. I get into him because I start from 2004. So when he like 4 years old.
Oh, okay, yeah.
My backyard is a golf course, so I just take him out, you know, practicing.
Yeah.
4 years old, you know, he calling Tiger Woods, stuff from there. So
yeah, and, Tiger Woods, yeah.
It's a good thing for a kid, you know. So he and my daughter, they both play golf. You know, they're both pretty good. My daughter is a really good golfer too when she's in high school. Yeah, she's a four-year MVP.
Sounds like a fun family activity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My family, is everything is the past 15 years, all golf. Besides, I'm working, it's all golf.
Really? Wow.
All golf. Because two kids, you know, my daughter played golf.
Are you any good?
I'm good too, you know. Not now. Before, when I'm crazy, I really get into it. I play every day. I won a couple of tournaments. The DGA, you know, I'm the member of the DGA. So in 2007.
Oh, the DGA, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the DGA or the member, you know, I won the tournament. I won the stuntman tournament. So it's not too bad.
Wow. There's a stuntman tournament. I had no idea.
Yeah, they have the stuntman tournament. And some stuntmen really good, you know. But that year, lucky I won it. Yeah, so 2008. That moment, I'm not working crazy, so I focus on golf. So I really get into the golf. You know, I don't know if you understand golf. You know, like they have the handicap, like a bad bell, like you're a bad bell, white bell, or whatever. In golf, they call handicap. Mm-hmm. So I get into a very low handicap, a single handicap. You know, single digit handicap.
Pretty good.
It sounds good. I don't know golf, but it sounds really good. Yeah. So now that's got me wondering, are you a very competitive person in everything that you do?
Yeah. Definitely. We looked at some of the stuff on your Instagram and we saw like there's like snowboarding too. That the other thing that stood out to me, that you snowboard.
I'm okay with that, but I'm crazy, you know, just like the stuntman life, you know, when you learn that. It's just go for it. You know, I never really like get into a lesson or something. How I start the storyboard is very funny. You know, I'm from Hong Kong. There's no snow. You know, I come to America. And then my first movie I did with The Rock is called Scorpion King. I don't know, you guys know the movie called Scorpion King?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Scorpion King, I do the reshoot for them. The opening sequence is in Snow Mountain. So we went to the place called Melmet. And then I saw the snow. I went to the shop. I suppose it's working. I don't even. And then they say, "Oh, let's go ski. The ski resort is next to us." So I'm going to looking around, and then they say rental a snowboard or ski. I never did that. That's my first time. I walk into the shop. I see the snowboard have a scorpion in the back, like you know the bottom. They're the scorpion. So I do a scorpion.
Yeah.
So I do Scorpion King. I say, "Oh, that's
the design."
Cool. Yeah. So I buy the board. I say, "Okay, I bought this. Buy this one." So I. Kind of like memory. So I still using that same board is the scorpion in the bed. So I buy the board and then I just go onto the ski resort and start learning from that. And then I don't even know how to put on it, you know, it's very first time. And then we just go to the lift and go up. And I don't know how I come down, just tumbling and sit on the butt and whatever. Just that's how I start. No lesson, never take a lesson.
Kind of like being a stuntman.
Just do it.
The Scorpion King of snowboarding.
Yeah. That's how I start. Then my family, we go ski, you know, one time. It's almost like 10 years in a row, every Christmas we go ski. So my kids, they all ski.
And
I'm only one to snowboard.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. I like snowboarding more than skiing, so.
Yeah. I like snowboarding because I know I cannot do ski because ski, you know, when you fall, your leg will be like this. And I really hurt the knee. My knee is not.
Yeah,
really
yeah. You
good,
have to be straight.
Yeah, my knee is really weak.
Yeah.
You know, after so many years, so I do snowboarding. That one thing is good. They keep my both legs. So no matter how I fall, my knee doesn't have too much pressure or twisting.
Oh yeah, that's true.
One time I twist my knee is not because the snowboard is because at the very beginning I get off the lift because you know they don't let you put 2 foot. They have to take one foot off, right? So that one when
I one foot off, and then the other one is the pushing, right?
Yeah, and I get off the lift, I twist it. That almost broke my knee, like two piece. That is
my gosh. Wow.
When I struggle together, you fall, you either face plant or butt. So that's okay for me to fall. But when that's hurt me. That's almost like, almost kill me that sound.
Yeah. Any tricks?
Snowboard? No, just little standing something. Okay. Little standing.
Yeah.
The crazy one I only can do is like I go all the way down to almost like touch the butt, you know, touch the knee. I very low, like almost like you bend the knee and you put your hand and just go fast as you can. That's the only trick I have. I don't have others really like the snowboard trick.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but I pay pretty good. Yeah.
You can start getting into it.
Yeah, from the blue diamond, I'm okay. Black diamond, that's
okay.
Black diamond, I just like sideways.
The moguls is terrible for snowboarding.
I know. Yeah. That's very difficult. I don't do that. I only can do blue diamond.
Yeah.
I try the black diamond, I like this, like sideways. I never even turn straight.
Yeah.
It's so deep. So hard.
Yeah, you keep breaking the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, very hard.
Yeah. And I know before the golfing and the snowboarding, you were into Taekwondo, right? You were a Taekwondo competitor?
Yes. That's my background, you know, Taekwondo. Okay. I competed for a long time. I start from junior high school and I compete Hong Kong and I compete. I represent Hong Kong 3 years in a row. I represent Hong Kong go 2 Asian Games and 1 World Game. And my last one is the Asian Game in Taiwan. I won the bronze medal, then I quit, then done. Finished, no more.
Yeah, that's it. Drop the mic.
Bronze medal is very hard. You know, Asian is the number one Korea, second one is Taiwan. And then you got bronze medal is almost like a very higher you can go. So I know that's the higher I can achieve. So after that, I say, that's it. I kept it. I don't think I can do any better. So if I keep doing that, I know I'm going to done here. So I rather just keep, you know, finish on the top. So that's very, very mindset. It's like when I planning, I always think if I got bronze medal, I going to quit. Then I really got it. Then I just quit. I teaching, but I don't.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any memorable matches or any fight stories that stay in your head?
Oh yeah, for sure. One memory story is crazy story is when I first time I represent Hong Kong, I went to Nepal to play the Asian Taekwondo Championship. So we are 4 people, 3 boys, 1 girl. So we represent Hong Kong only. That moment, you know, Hong Kong is not like a country, you know, they can support the full team. So it's very hard to pick. And also we need to pay. I remember we had to pay the ticket. They pay other stuff, but we pay, I think we need to pay part of the money to try to do the tournament. So 3 boy, 1 girl. I remember because my first fight, I fight in Malaysia. And back then I fight bantamweight. And then when I see the representative from Malaysia, he's like 6'2". And I said, wow, how you be a bantamweight like this? Like crazy tall. Right? And then he's like,
wow.
He's like a soldier. He's from Malaysia, but he's in the soldier side. So he come in and then we fight. And then I remember I got locked out, you know. And then I got knocked out.
Wow.
And then the other 3, okay, so 3 boys. So other 2 boys, 1 got the highest web court in Hong Kong. Never been somebody win the silver medal. So he won a silver medal. My best buddy, he's 1 division above me. He won the bronze medal. And the girl won the bronze medal. And I only won loss. Only one. And I remember I will never forget it because I'm only one loss. So 4 person, I'm only one loss. I remember the head coach when we finished in the Nepal, we fly back to Hong Kong in the hotel. He just yelled at me like crazy. Any bad word you can hear, he said it. So he said,
"Oh no,
you are blah 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 blah. You will never represent Hong Kong anymore because you are the only one make." This team, without you, we are 100% medal. With you, only 75%. You shame on you. Blah, blah, like everything.
Oh,
and
no.
I keep saying, I'm sorry. He said, you never represent even you pay your own money. So then the next year, at the Hong Kong Championship, I need to win again. It's a like really long process. You need to win the championship in Hong Kong, the Black Belt Open. Then you represent Hong Kong in the team. Then they pick. Inside, who go to, even you're in the team, it doesn't mean you represent. Mm. But then next year, my buddy, the one about one division about me, he's the best one. He's the captain. So at that year, we have the news come to interview because we won something, right, the year before. So the news come, the sport news coming, and then they say, okay, do a demonstration. But the people don't know Taekwondo. So me and my buddy, the captain, we fight because we are the two best one in the team. So we fight, just demonstration. And then in 10 seconds, less than 10 seconds, I lock him out. I broke his nose because I think, oh, I got to win. What?
Whoa.
I got to win. I got to win because I win. Then I have a chance because the coach don't want me go. So I had
very short demonstration.
I have to demonstrate it in front of the news, you know. So I think this is an opportunity. I got to do something. So I really won. If you guys know, it's called reverse kick, called spinning hook kick. So I broke his nose, and he cannot even stop. Yeah. He cannot even stop the breathing. But then the end, the story short, and then the end, they picked me. They picked me to represent Hong Kong again because the year we won four free medal. So the next year we have the full team for the boy. And then four girls for the female. But then we go to the world championship in Korea, zero medal. Everyone, all out. So the world game, zero, nothing. Everyone come back. So very disappointed. But in my mind, it's like I had to do something to make myself feel better because they won that year. Yeah. So only me don't have medal. So then I tell myself I have to win one bronze medal or silver or something to equal that. So then I failed the next year. And then the following year is the Asian game again in Taipei. And that year, me is the only boy winning the bronze medal. So I tied the record. That's why I quit. So this is how
I ended strong.
I'm very competitive, you know. That's why I play golf. When I decide to play golf, 2004, I decided to learn how to play golf. No lesson. Same thing. I just pick up the golf course and go hit ball. And then 2004, I learned how to play golf. In 2007, I already won. I tell you, 2007, I won the DGA and the Stuntman tournament. So in 3 years, I pick up the golf and win the tournament.
Very competitive, it seems.
Yeah, very. And then that's why, and when I find out the kid have the tournament, so I make my daughter and my son play golf. And I send them to all the tournaments. they call US kid, US kid golf. So they start from like seven or six years old. You can start have the different age, different golf tournament. So my daughter and my son.
That's very young.
Yeah, they're very young. They start competitive. Yeah. So they have my blood. So they go, they play, you know, not even my daughter, you know, I said, she's really good. My daughter is like, in the high school, she beat the high school record.
Wow.
We're in the city. It's LA County. So she is the first girl to have a four-year MVP as a golf.
Wow.
4 years.
Four years.
High school, you go 4 years. So every year, she's the MVP.
Yeah. Freshman, sophomore, yeah.
She win 4 years in a row as MVP. Yeah. She's even stronger than my son. My son only have 1 year.
No way.
She's in UCLA right now. She's older, right? She's in UCLA now, last year. But she don't play golf anymore. After high school.
Oh, nice.
She say no more. Done. I just want to go to school, to college.
Yeah.
Well, only my son now.
That makes sense. So... when you were younger, when you were thinking about what you wanted to do, was it the Taekwondo dream that came first or were you also interested in action and stunts early on?
That's funny. As simultaneous is when I start doing, I start learning Taekwondo in when I do junior high, you know, they have the school say you have to pick one hobby at the schools, any class, you can be a school band or, you know, Boy Scout or... They have only one martial art. Only one martial art I will always want to learn is Taekwondo. If they have karate, then I learn karate. If they have kung fu, I learn kung fu. So I see the Taekwondo. I pick the Taekwondo. So I pick one. Then I get into it. I find out they have tournament because when I start, in 2 months, I still a white belt. And then we have like every 3 months we have tests. I white belt, and then they already have a Hong Kong color belt Taekwondo tournament. They say, you can try if you want. I say, really? I only white belt. But they say, I can. So I try. And my first tournament, I won silver medal. I say, oh, I want to play golf. Wow. I want to play taekwondo. So I start from there to compete it. Since I start taekwondo, I start do fist sparring, you know, go to tournament. And then it's the same year, I remember, it's a Jackie Chan movie called Police Story Number One.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And I never think about what I want to do in when I finish school. I never think about it. I think, oh, maybe I go to a police. Maybe I do something. I don't know what I want to do because so young. And then when Police Story, after I start learn taekwondo, then I see the movie Police Story. And if you remember, Jackie, he did this running chase the bus.
Yeah.
And the hill, he running down the hill to chase the bus. That hill is my, that moment I live in Hong Kong, that's my backyard. That hill is where I live. So I say, I can do that. I slide the, you know, I get the cardboard. I do the cardboard and then always slide the hill. I say, that's I can do that. So I say, well, maybe I should do movie. That's how I start about do movie. It's exactly, it's the Jackie Chan Police Story. Make me think about do movie. I don't know. They have stunt. I don't know their director. I thought movie, everyone same. Everyone do everything. So I don't know they have different department. I don't know I want to do movie.
Different roles. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I start. So, and then end up I work for him. It's like crazy story. End up, you see, end up I with his team.
Wow.
Jackie Chan stunt team.
Jackie Chan stunt team. There you got the shirt on now.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, since you were talking about that stunt where you were, where Jackie was going down the hill and you did that too with the cardboard. I'm wondering, were there any other stunts that you did as a kid?
Too many, you know, I tell you.
Too many, yeah.
Too many. I do stunts for crazy, for because we are poor kid, you know. I do a lot of stunts. You know, remember Jackie Chan, you know, remember he do the bus, he put the umbrella and hook in the bed?
Yeah.
We're living in the mountain, you know, the mountain. They always have a big truck, you know, those rock, I don't know how to call that, brick truck, you know, carry all the rock. So sometimes when they uphill, pretty slow.
Mm-hmm.
So when I young, I would jump onto the bed on the truck, but the car's moving, and then we jump on and sit on the bed wheel and just holding the metal and just sit on that and ride with them. Like the driver don't even know we jump on it in the middle of the street. We just ride with the whole thing because we don't need to walk up the hill. He had no idea a kid is just holding that like this, crazy stunt, right? It could kill you, you know, for any reason. We just hold on that and there's no safety. And I did that's the one stunt. And then I
that's
did
crazy.
I did another stunt is the, remember the Rush Hour 2, the bamboo fight?
Oh, the scaffolding, right?
Yeah, the scaffolding fight. Mm. So Hong Kong, they really do have those bamboo for the building, you know, that when they repair the building, they have that maybe 10 years old, maybe something 10 or even younger. We climb up from the bottom to the top to the building. That's like a 16, we're lifting those apartment buildings 16-4. So 16-4, I just climb up from there, you know, from a very young kid, just go up there. And I remember we climb up to the top as a water pipe, you know, because the whole building, the water is from from the top, the water tank, and then this, you know, separate to go down to every apartment. So there are little pipe everywhere. I remember coming to the pipe, and one point the pipe broken. I fall off to the edge of the
building. Oh my gosh.
The pipe is against to the tank.
Wow.
I climb up the tank, but then the pipe just broke off, and I fall off outside the building. 16-4. My two legs like this, dangling, just like the Rush Hour 2.
Wow.
And I see myself, I broke the thing, and all the water already flying down. And I dangling, and I think...
Yeah, coming down.
I feel the pipe going to break, another piece. So they broke the top, and then I fall off like this, dangling just like the Rush Hour. And I know the pipe going to break. I just, the 1 second, if I'm thinking about it, I die because... the pipe wide away break. So I off the building and then jump back into the building. Soon as I jump, the pipe fall off. I almost kill myself that. That's a real
story. Oh my gosh.
That's my first time really dying.
Near death story.
I off the building already. And I'm thinking, I got to jump in. If I'm not jump, the pipe will break. Just before I'm thinking, I just put my leg and then I just make it inside and the pipe broken. And all the water,
last minute.
It's the last second.
That's crazy.
That's a crazy one.
Yeah. So you did these stunts with your friends? Did you do like with your friends back in Hong Kong, you said?
Yeah. You know, this is a childhood thing, you know, the kid thing, you know, we jump into the car, we would do everything, you know, it's not really a stunt. We're just crazy, you know, lotty boy, you know, everything we can do, we would do, you know, like, you know, when the people see us climb up to the sky photo, you know, they just, call police. What are you guys doing? You're crazy, you know, little kid, you know, we just go, you know.
Are you still in touch with any of those friends today? Or do they know you're in the film industry now doing stunts?
I wish I had. I have one fan still as a fan, but we don't really in touch anymore. But the rest is like, we're separate because it's like I would say that area where I'm living is very poor area of that moment. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they always like those buildings like a temporary, you know, they always okay. They remodel, everybody go to different city again. So we've got to separate everything. Mm. So we're not in touch anymore. So I wish I think if they now today, even they see me on TV, on movie, I don't think they believe this is me because nobody would believe that.
Really?
Mm. You know, because like I lived in like a shelter, you know, I don't know, you know, the shelter, you know, those.
Yeah.
Mountain, remember Jackie Chan crashed the car in the mountain, the police story?
Yeah.
Those are shelters.
I
lived those places first when I was young, very young, my family. And then we lived in there. And one time the fire burned out all the shelter. And then we moved to the place I say, the small apartment. The 16th floor apartment. Those are all temporary because they burn out the mountain, those shelter, and then we got everyone go, you know, here, there. So it's really, I grew up with a really poor family. So, and you know, like, and also I never really study in school. So nobody would believe I can speak English and nobody would believe I can immigration to America or even I live in America. I think that's like a crazy story for the people.
Wow. I have to ask, I know before you mentioned near-death experience as a kid, I know we heard you on the Scott Adkins show talking about Jackie Chan saving you from underneath a boat, another near-death experience.
Yeah.
Do any of those times discourage you from continuing to do what you do in the stunt world, or are you always just 100% ready to go again?
No, I don't. You know, when I decide, I think that's why I always tell even the new generation, like with Dan or Joseph, you guys just interview them. I always tell them, you know, when I do stunt, I remember I start from doing TV and then when I have a chance to work for Jackie Chan, I go there. My first thing to myself to work for, because my first movie is Sammo Hung direct and then Jackie Chan star. It's called Mr. Nice Guy in Sydney. When I have in Australia, when I have that opportunity, I go, I remember that moment, you know, a Hong Kong movie is, Hong Kong action is very, is crazy or whatever, very extreme, you know, every day, you know, something very special, crazy stunt. So when I decide to do that job, I already tell myself, okay, any stunt, doesn't matter what stunt, if that stunt for sure not kill me, I do it. But if that stunt for sure kill me, then I won't do it.
Wow.
So if it's something gonna get hurt, you're gonna be broke your leg, you know, broke your elbow or whatever, I do it. I don't care. So this is what I set up. So like, okay, as soon as they don't kill me, as soon as they have an ambulance ready, I go for it. You know, I go in here and go into the hospital, I think we're fine because I think the doctor can save me. So that's what my start, the mindset. And then when I always like not 100%, it's 120% do stunt. So we do everything. But funny, you know, I never really, you know, we don't have experience about car stunt, but we do car heat. We do, you know, driving. And then we don't have high fall or whatever special skill. We just go. Are you scared or no? Then you just jump. That kind of thing, you know.
Like, wow.
So even the stunt almost killed myself is because I asked for it. Because I think it's fun, you know, to jump off when the boat moving and then the wave is crazy. And when I go high school, I go from Kowloon to Hong Kong. You know, we have the harbor, so we have to take the big bowl. And then I always sit in the stand on the tail and look at all those crazy waves. And I say, "Wow, that's so cool! If I jump on it, it'll be so much fun." Because I'm really good with swimming, so I always think I jump on it. It's just, you know, I sometimes put the, you know, Coca-Cola can, and then I see they go in and then the right away fall out. So I say, wow, this would be so much fun. You jump on it and just pop out.
Yeah.
So I, in my head, it's always want to do that, jump into it. Right. But then if, you know, at that moment in high school, yeah, they jump into it, they possibly put me to the a police station, you know, like it's crazy. So I always want to do that, but never have a chance. When I do rush out to, I see that stunt, I ask for it. You know, I say, I want to do that stunt. Let me do that stunt. So I almost kill myself because I think it's fun.
Yeah.
We're shooting that scene in the midnight.
Wow.
And we are middle of the harbor, like ocean, mm-hmm, midnight ocean, no safety diver, no nothing. We just jump, we just fall into it and some mm-hmm little boat pick us up. And then I got trapped, you know, it's almost killed. You know, the story I've been telling them. And lucky I don't get killed by that, you know, but, you know, we call, I still think it's fun, you know. So I don't know, something, you know, say this curse reached me and it's not doing any more stunt. No, I still doing, you know, if it's something I think fun, I do it. I still can do it, you know.
Yeah. And you talk a lot about doing those stunts as even as a kid, like a high schooler too. I'm wondering, like, did you ever get into any school fights, anything like that?
I had to tell the truth.
No, you don't have
we
to.
Can edit after. After. We can edit after.
Yes, of course. I'm getting fine. You know? It's fun, fine. You know, when you have that moment, you know, and then so when I start learning taekwondo, I think I can fight anyone. You know, so we'll find a reason to pick up the fight. Yeah, I did a few times. You know, a street fight, some crazy fight for no reason, and also it's not really a good story. So, but yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll stay away from it then.
Yeah, street fight experience, but not a good story about, you know, is that you beat up somebody is not really cool. Or somebody beat you up, you know, so.
Yeah,
yeah, of course.
But yeah, I think right now I'm so.
It's even less cool. Yeah.
Not only play golf, not only golf. No more martial arts, not my interest anymore. No more fighting. Yeah. Yeah, since I finished the taekwondo, I say when I quit, I don't even, you know, practicing anymore. No more. Just doing for movie, you know, no more. Not like I'm like crazy about martial art. I think it's only certain time and periods you can enjoy it. And now I'm enjoying more family time or golf time or making movie, you know. So there's already passed, you know, like a long time ago. I don't train to try to fight or, you know, any, you know, people will see, oh, now it's jujitsu, you know, people, wow, everyone goes to learn jujitsu or something. I have no interest at all, you know, just for movie, if I need to learn something for movie. Yeah. Mm. So.
And then, so, like you said, you finish your martial arts fighting career, uh-huh, then you go on to doing film and television, things like that. Can you tell me what it was like for you when you first got involved with the Jackie Chan team?
It's interesting, you know, I never think I can get into the team, you know. It's like, I already in the business, working for the company called TVB. It's like a TV broadcasting. So we're only doing TV show. And Jackie Chan have his own team, you know. This team is very hard to get in. It's not like, oh, I want to join the team, then you can apply. It's no, you know, application. You have to be somehow some kind of fate or luck and skill wise, you get into it and he likes you, and then he will keep you on, or, you know, he's very picky about for the team, you know. So he picked, it's not just you have mm-hmm a good skill, he picked your personality, a lot of requirement beside your good skill, or you have a big ball, you know, you can do crazy stunt, but then he picks something even more specific. Mm-hmm. Like you represent something, represent the team, represent Chinese, represent. So he's taking much more serious about the team. So when I start getting into it, I feel, wow, this is very special, you know, every, you know, senior, the team, the mm-hmm senior, they all have some kind of a skill, a special skill, but then they all have a really good manner too. So I think that's only for me and get into it, I feel first thing is like, wow, there's something very interesting, very disciplined people, you know, disciplined mm-hmm stuntmen, you know. That's the first thing like, I really remember, beside the skill, you know, beside they have some certain skill, but I see the mm-hmm the manner and,
oh, yeah,
and the manner and the discipline very, very different out there, you know. When I, you know, working outside in Hong Kong, the freelance people is different. They have different kind of mentality and different kind of discipline. So when I get into Jackie Chan's team, when I see the team, and then when I see the boss, you know, how he treat people, how he on set, or how he working, or how he personal life, you know, so much learned from that moment. I think, wow, I thought superstar is just something else. But then I see what Jackie Chan does. It's amazing. And then after, I remember the first movie, after Mr. Nice Guy, we do Who Am I? And then we go to Rush Hour. Since Rush Hour, we live together. So before, we lived in a hotel. And Rush Hour 1, Rush Hour 2, Shanghai Noon, we all live in the same hotel. He will pick who live with him, you know. So I am, the three movie, I live with him, the same house. He will have a big house, wow. And then he will pick who come with him in the same house. So luckily, all three movie, I with him every, all the house together. So I see him wake up, go sleep, eat.
All the time.
Exercise, everything. So I know exactly his daily base, what he's doing. And I said, like, wow. It's no excuse for anyone. You know, if you look at him, you have no excuse. You're not work hard, you know, because he's first of all famous. He's rich. He don't need to work, you know. He already is super rich, you know, or something. But the way he treat himself is like you have no food. So he very, very careful about any food. So he will eat every single rice. He won't have nothing left off. He looked like a very poor, very hungry every day.
Wow.
And he disciplined training himself. Well, we wake up in the morning, he's already done the exercise by himself and sweating with the trash suit, you know, sweating like crazy. And he washing all his clothes by himself, hand wash.
Mm.
It's amazing, you know. He can have anyone wash for him.
That's crazy.
But he was washing himself. He washes his underwear, he washes his socks, he washes his t-shirt, he shower, he clean up, and he clean up the whole house.
Not even...
So house is so clean. Wow. It's not because we have a maid. He is the maid. He will wake up, he will exercise, he will clean up the table, he will clean up the floor. It's one amazing thing. So for me to see that is like, you have no excuse to try to be lazy or something. Even he would do that.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering, did you ever tell him about that police story moment when you first saw him running down the hill? Did you ever tell him how that like inspired you? That?
Yeah, I think I did tell him. I think I forget it, you know, because we've been too long together. I think we've been together for so long.
Yeah.
any topic we've been talking, we're living together. You know, I think he know that, you know, and I don't know, he know it because him to make me try to do movie, but for sure he know the story. I go from there. And yeah, this is the story, you know, it's wow. A police story is to make me have Andy Chan's story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, we always hear about, like you said, Jackie Chan being particular about the talent that's coming on and making sure everyone's up to snuff in terms of skill and things like that. But there's also the experience and the connection that you have with your teammates and with Jackie Chan himself that will help you on set. Mm-hmm. Do you think spending all that time with them off set sort of helped build that communication and trust between all you guys?
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's also, I think he mentioned that all my experience, you know, like action star when he like him, you know, you need the people you can trust it because you fight with that, you know, like if you see Who Am I, he will talk about the rhythm, you talk about the trust, you know, so you have to know him, you know, more to help him, you know, because we live together. That's why he called the team, but there's more like a family, you know, we are brothers, you know, we try to understand each other, you know, personality and then skill wise. Then when you go work, you know, Andy is good with the kicking, who is good with the boxing. So you know everyone. So you're picking the right people to do the right thing. So you don't need to, you know, who is the best, which, what, you know, who have more ball, who can do crazy stunt, who can do this, and who's smart, organized. So yeah. That kind of thing, you know, because everyone have a different kind of skill. You cannot be everything good. So he was picking the right people. And as a team like this, like a family like that, then you work together very easily and more efficient, you know. So and for him, he know who looks to him, he will feel safe, you know. I remember In Shanghai Noon, if you go back to the Shanghai Noon, you see it. One of the things, you know, I'm good with the toes thing and cap thing and whatever this. I'm pretty good with this, my hand-eye coordination, you know, like we say that. So yeah, I remember in Shanghai Noon, if you go back, one of the, he fight with the Indian, and then we have the tomahawk, you know, and then one of the shots is he dodging this and turn around and the tomahawk right into his face, right here, boom, stuck into the tree. If you go back to see it. But then, that tomahawk fall right in front of his face and hit the tree. That's a real tomahawk. And I am the one off camera fold the tomahawk. And
right, wow.
You miss, you got to kill him, you know. It's a real tomahawk, not like you can.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, yeah.
The tomahawk got hit, boom. He's like, wow. That's all real. So how much trust, you know, if he don't trust you, how he can believe you can fold the tomahawk and not fall into his head?
That's true.
That kind of skill will really, you have to be really knowing who can do what and then how you can trust this person and something. So you cannot have make one little mistake, right? It's like few inch, you fold it a little bit off inch and it can chop his head off.
With the stakes that high, so how tolerant was Jackie when people made mistakes and didn't get the moves down right away?
Then he was very angry. It really upset him, but you know, like I think he know, like we all know, you know. So I think when you go into that kind of like this, like life, you know, a supporting a safety or something. So he had to find somebody who really believe and trust. So and then the same thing for us, you know. Like I said, the teammate, the team, the family, everyone really like. For me, I feel everyone is really on top of the game, you know. So when they on to something, they were delivering. So same thing, like we always do demonstration. Those demonstration like, oh, somebody here and then he show the move. So you had the demonstration like good timing, good reaction, good whatever. You have to have that kind of confidence. You cannot, oh, shit, so many people watching, so how... No, you represent the, you know, the team, and you know everyone had to deliver something. So when he picked you to do that part, he pretty much just trust you. You know, you embarrassing him. It's all going to him. You know, like some will jump on it. Oh, like I said, I can do it. You know, so but he had to believe you can do it. And also sometimes he will say, okay, Andy, come here, do this. Or Nikki, come here, do this. So he will know when he want to do something, he will pick the one in his head, what he wants the result. He already know the result. So he will pick the right person to do the thing. So he know.
Right.
You got to deal.
Who has the right skill for it.
Yeah, because we know each other so much. We're living together. He know who would never embarrassing him or disappointed him. You know? So that's so far. The team is always something very, very confident.
And I know you talk a lot about like the rhythm for Jackie. I'm wondering how hard was it to nail the rhythm down for Jackie when you first got to the stunt team? Was it difficult to get that pacing?
I mean, for me, like I said, I don't know. I'm lucky, you know, how I get into the pacing, you know, because of my, like I say, I fight taekwondo, you know, when you do real fight, when you do real fight, we talk about real speed, you know. People don't tell you how fast they kick you and how fast they punch you. So you had a really good reaction and good skill to react that, you know. So those reaction, you cannot fake it. If you don't have that speed, you don't have it. So so I think I kind of like go into when I join the team, I already have something there. So I think makes it easier for me. But then to talk about the rhythm, how you, because if you can do, you know, what we're doing, it's easy. It's not like, wow. It's like the people know how to, you know, get the beat to dancing. They get the beat, you know, they hit every beat, you know, because they have it. Then you ask them, is it difficult? No. They don't even know it's difficult. It's just like this. Same thing like the fight.
You don't see the difficult. It's natural.
It's natural. Yeah. We don't see the difficult. But then when you don't have it, or you have a personal skill, but you don't have that kind of fight experience, you go into it, you're nervous, and then your rhythm breaking. Like you cannot count, you cannot. And then you try to remember the Corey. You kind of try to remember, oh, when you hit him, how, don't hit him too hard. You try to remember everything, you fall apart. So that's the rhythm we're talking about. Is like you have to have experience to remember the quarry. At the same time, you have to knowing when you sell the power, how you sell power, don't hurt somebody. That is going to be difficult because if I tell you all the detail, it's so difficult. Because don't hurt him, he's a star. You cannot pick his nose, you cannot take his teeth off. And then, you have to remember this and that. You know, when I tell you all the things you try to remember, then you're for sure you're going to be panicking and too much to thinking, you know, it's not easy. When that moment then become for us, not difficult because it's so easy because we've kind of like, we already have that. And then when you don't have it, you don't have it. I remember, I tell you, the natural talent. Recently, I'm working here. I'm directing my unit, my job. The day I directing, I remember I have one boy, a young kid, kind of like you, Devin. He even look like you. So this kid is here. He's a background, you know. Background kid. And then one of the shot I want him is like investigation something. So he have a little light on the kind of like a flashlight,
magnifying glass,
like a detective, you know, the investigating something. So I just put the camera.
Yeah.
I think he the first day to try to do this kind of background job or something. But suddenly I say, okay, you do this. So I get this boy and I say, okay, you are checking here, checking there, and I have a camera on him. I tell you, his hands shaking like this. His hands cannot even stop. It's okay. It's the same thing like this. He's just so nervous, you know. It's like, oh my God. I said, no. And then he cannot even hold the hand strap. So he had the first line. I said, okay, put your hand against something so you won't shaking, right? But he's even against something, his hand's still shaking.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So then I realized when you have too much pressure and nervous, your body just doesn't control it. Even I keep coming down. I said, it's okay. I just want to see you do something. And his hands just keep shaking. So it's the same thing when somebody could fight, say fight Jackie Chan or fight The Rock or fight somebody. When there's a stunt guy, they're not enough experience or something. They come in to fight with the superstar. How you think you nervous like this, you know? So that's why experience, to make a different experience beside your personal skill is a big difference. That you cannot buy it. You cannot learn that. When you deal with the superstar, you know, you cannot hit him, you cannot, but then you need to do the real fight, kind of like a real fight. Then when you have not in the experience, maybe hit him, then your whole body kind of let it fall apart. So that kind of rhythm thing is a very, very hard to say it's difficult, but when you don't have it, it's difficult. Just like, even this, conversation
with
camera, when you never really like, when you're on camera, you possible, whoa, with camera on me. I remember when I do my first, I try to be acting, I remember, and I have a little role. I already like fairly new, and then I have the lie is like, please don't kill me, and blah, 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 you know. And as I say that, I remember the director yell at me like, what are you doing? You know, like, I cannot even deliver. And since that, I quit. I said, no, okay.
Yeah.
Andy Chan, you know.
Was that for the TV studio?
Yeah. I got the role as a soldier.
Yeah.
I'm a soldier. It's like, my previous TV show. I'm a soldier. The idea is the host, we are go to the war. And everyone die, and I'm the only one report, go back to the king, and then all the soldiers die.
Wow.
And then the king say, so why you would be bad? You should be die with them. I say, no, because I try to come back to report, right? And then the king say, no, you are not a patriot. So take him out and kill him. And then, so I say, oh, please don't kill me. And I say, and the director like, yeah, with me, like, what are you doing? Well, you should be very panicking, very scared. I say, but my inside say, I'm not really scared. And they say, no, you need to acting like scared. So that one, I get yow so bad. and then after that, I say, okay, Andy, no more acting for you. You cannot act. So that's why I decided to go just for behind the scene and direct and stun or something, a stun double, so not in front of the camera. So that's good. You know, I realized maybe acting is really have a skill. You have to have some kind of talent. I thought everyone can do it. And then that one I learned that. I said, no. And But 30 yeah. years later, so then, you know, the experience built. So now I'm not nervous, you know, with the camera and talking and more natural. So I think that tell the story, experience and make
the practice.
Practice, yeah. Experience and make the difference. So I think that is somehow people think, wow, why so difficult? You know, it's not difficult. It's just not enough experience.
That's interesting. And I know you said working with Jackie, it's like, at the beginning, at least, it was a lot of like Hong Kong style for action. I was kind of wondering how you do everything so fast. I mean, it seems like you have a very limited time constraint over there and everything just gets produced like on the moment, Hong Kong style. So how do you do things so quickly and how do you memorize so quickly? I mean, obviously, like you said, it comes naturally too, but what's the process of doing those scenes very, very quick?
Earlier, when I say I take the job, I already put myself in the one mode. I go. That's not making up. When the coordinator called me, his name Cho Wing. He's a Sammo Hung coordinator. He calling for me to Sydney to work for Jackie and Sammo. And I know these two already, you know, we go up in Hong Kong, we know who they are. We know Sammo Hung, really, it's a Hong Gaban, you know, really, you know, crazy stunt like Jackie Chan's, you know, same.
Fierce,
both,
yeah.
Both competitive, they're crazy. Then now I'm working for two at the same time. I thought, wow, there could be something. Why they will, beginning the show, they don't have anyone. So for sure, something wrong. That's why they wide away. They need someone ASAP.
Yeah.
And I know, well, maybe the stunt really hurts somebody, or they nobody want to do it because it's something crazy. So I decided to say go that moment. My head already say, okay, you know, one condition, if that stunt for sure, I'm not dying, I do it.
Mm-hmm.
So my mind says, like, go there, doesn't matter. Go, I got to hit you with the stick like this, you know, punch your nose and break your teeth. I said, okay, do it. Punch me hard as you can.
Do it.
so that's what I said, like, the mind is like, I'm going for full on, you know, just don't kill me. Everything you want to do, you want to broke my arm, you want anything you want, it's fine. Just don't kill me. So that's my set, you know. If I'm not sure I'm not dying, I do it. So I think that make me go there. I don't scare anymore. I already like, okay, just do what you want. So like I already put everything on it. So I know nothing to lose, you know. So that kind of thing. So when I think that make myself more confident, you know. And also that before I worked for Jackie, it's almost 7 years in the TV. I work daylight. We in the TV company, we are on salary. So they can use us as many they want. So I would daytime go location, nighttime go stage. So I'm working for two different shows. You know, morning I double someone, nighttime I double someone. So I'm just working constantly, fighting, wire work, everything. So in that 6-7 years, it's like a lot of people, the whole career working, the whole career, the job I did in the TV. So I think that also give me a lot of experience. And TV is much faster than the movie. So when I go to the movie set, I say, wow, you guys, slow. You 2 hour do one set up or something. With 2 hours, shoot the whole scene. They do 2 hour for one set up, lighting, change lens. You know, in TV, we don't have lens. We only one zoom lens, you know, just so tight, wise. Mm-hmm. It was so fast.
Very quick,
do. And then I go to TV, and when I go to a movie set, oh, okay. Why lens? And then, oh, tighter, change your lens, you know, 50 mil, oh, 100, you know, wow. And then lighting.
Dolly. A couple hours go by already. Yeah.
So wow, that's easy, you know. And then they have time rehearsal, you know, even we do it on set, but there's still some little time. In TV, you almost like wire on and do it. So I think those make me fast. And then, you know, whatever, then I born with that. Maybe I just perfectly fit for the movie thing. And luckily, like my childhood, you know, I'm so wild, you know. So everything add together is perfectly do stunt, perfectly, you know, work for him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it sounds like a lot of that quickness is also from Jackie's point of view. It sounds like he can think of the scenes very quickly in the moment and just execute them on the spot, right? Hong Kong style, like
Hong
you were
Kong
saying.
Style, yeah. that we execute, mostly, you know, it's like his style, you know, we learn a lot. His style, like execute there, but in the different level, you know, like TV, same thing.
Yeah.
TV, we do TV, same thing. We don't have that much prep time. We execute on set, put the camera, you do that. But when I work with Jackie, we do the same way, Hong Kong style, but higher standard, higher skill, higher stun, higher everything, like scale up, you know. So I feel, wow, that's much more, not just like what we've been doing, you know, much, much higher level, higher standard. But at the same time, we're doing on set too. But you have to, so that when the whole thing, you fold a one punch in the TV and you fold a one punch with Jackie Chan, a different level already, that punch. So that kind of, they're different. So I feel so lucky, you know, and I learn a lot from the higher level, higher skill, higher standard. And then when I go to Hollywood and do Hollywood movie, another standard, another high standard, but they standard based on the rehearsal time and prepping. So Hollywood is good, but without prepping. So Hong Kong style doesn't need to prep, but maybe, so a different kind of thing. So Hong Kong style, Hong Kong style is good. Hollywood
different
style,
level.
Hollywood style is good. So if you combine, you have both, and you do Shang-Chi.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because Joseph Lay and V Dan were talking about us with the other day, how Shang-Chi is like that mix between that Hong Kong style. And you guys even had to dumb it down a little bit because it was too much, I heard.
Too much what?
There was a whole sequence, too much like Hong Kong influence there, I think. Because V Dan was saying,
I mean, like, you have to balance it. You cannot just, if you're making Hong Kong movie. Mm-hmm. So you have to make it, you know, Marvel,
right,
Hollywood movie or Western and Eastern. So if you can find a balance, that could be very beautiful. So that's why I lived in Hollywood and America. I tried to learn that. And then with my breath, with my Eastern Hong Kong style, and I try to learn the Western Hollywood style, and I always try to combine and find a moment I can blending the together in certain way, and something, the chemistry could be really cool. So I think, like, right now, it's like, okay, you say whatever you want, you know, because, oh, look like a Shang-Chi, very success, you know, this is the second weekend, and making history and da da da. Mm-hmm. But it really, if people watching it, I don't know, do you guys see it yet?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we definitely saw it.
You see it and you can definitely feel, oh, there's not really a traditional Hollywood way. But there's some feeling, oh, there's some Jackie Chan style there or some shadowing or something. But that's a combined. That's a totally, it's combined. Like, you know, the interview when they tell you it's a Hong Kong style, make Hollywood style. It is, you know, my Jackie Chan stunting brother, Brett Allen, you know, he's an action director, but he direct the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And he's in control by, he's supervising the whole movie, every single beat. And he have the Hong Kong blood, you know, that's where he come from. You know, like us, you know, we're Jackie Chan stunt team. That's where we come from. Of course, you will see that, you know, right, that's in your blood. But then he put all other element, other style and mixing, create this Shang-Chi move.
Together,
So totally you can see, wow, this is not traditional way. So sounds like it worked. It's now proved it, you know, in the box office proved it. So I don't know the future. I don't know the next one, but I think maybe now they realize, oh, maybe this is, try something like this.
I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about Mr. Nice Guy. I know that was probably one of your first works that you worked on with Jackie. I think you were mentioning a couple of times. Just for that specific scene, I was wondering, I know there was a scene in that movie where there's horses and stuff like that, and he's on a carriage. Uh-huh. I was wondering if you could break down that sequence for us where he's on top of that carriage.
That's
yeah.
funny. It's a funny thing. Today, I went to a place with my stunt team, and then we went to the ranch, and they have all the horse, different kind of carriage, the horse. And then we even went with the horse carriage today.
Oh, really?
just today. Like a few hours ago, we went to do
a village. Okay.
And then we're doing the carriage thing. And then I talk about the Mr. Nice Guy about that sequence because it's now you're asking this question. That's kind of so.
Yes. Yeah.
Like deja vu.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so funny. And yeah, the carriage scene is one of the signature in that Mr. Nice Guy. It's a very cool scene. So what you want to know?
I want to know what it was like to film that sequence. And like with the horses, obviously you have live animals, right? Uh-huh. And those are moving at the same time. You're trying to do stunts with them as well. How was that process working with the horses and then also trying to do all the stuff on top of the carriage at the same time?
First of all, if you remember, I'm trying to remember too, the ringer, right? The one to the
horse. Yes, yeah.
So the ringer, just up like in the movie, the actress.
Oh, okay.
Double. Yeah, he put the ring and then, he lie down on top of the two horses. So he's the one ringing the whole horse. So that's the
one so
thing.
Funny.
So he controlled the horse. So those are his horses and then they're really good. So that's how we make the horse running without, all the trouble. And then sometimes we're hiding him and then he would do it. And then on top of that, that's one of the sequences. I remember it's like that's the second sequence we're doing that. And that moment, if I tell you the story, it's funny. When I went to Mr. Nice Guy, Jackie got hurt in his neck, so he cannot turn his head for some reason, so he just did. And then we have people from Korea supposed to double him. And this boy is really good. I still remember his last name is Lee. Very, very talented Korean kid. Good kicker. I'm a good kicker, but he's even better than me. Yeah. He's so good.
Wow.
And very talented. But that's his first movie. He go to do that. And that horse courage, if you go back to watching it, one of the stunt is fight with Jackie and boom, is someone do the back fall and hit the courage and bounce off the whole carriage. So that's done when we do rehearsal. Before the horse warning, we do rehearsal just on the courage and do that. And Korean Mr. Lee, he do that. Some reason, he really fit physically, but he hit his head when he not high enough. He caught the...
Oh, wow.
So he broke his head and, Brady and blah, blah, blah.
What?
And he got hurt.
That's crazy.
And then now we go to shoot it. Yeah. We go to shoot it. And then so then asking who can do it, because that's specific stunt. And then the horse supposed to ride really fast. And I said, I can do it. So I jump on to do what he's doing. So that way, when now you see it, it's me, we'll hit the thing and pass off.
Oh, wow.
But then after that, next day, he quit. By the next day, he fly back to Korea. He just quit.
Oh my gosh.
He's kind of experience or something and he just don't want to do it anymore. So he just quit. So he got hurt and then that's the wow. So he quit fast, So then I start doing what he's supposed to. So I step into it even deeper. And then after he left and everything I start doing. And then the fight, very interesting. We're in the middle of the Melbourne and very, very style, those horses are very hard, With the horse, when at one point the horse needs to jump off the car or something. So that's a fake horse and real horse together. And then I remember.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, fake horse.
You switch back and forth.
To fight over the car, and then.
The car.
And the courage, the wire and crash like crazy. And two guys jump off we're falling off the horse.
So how long was the rehearsal? Beforehand,
it's no rehearsal. We just shoot.
No rehearsal. Okay, just that's it.
No rehearsal. You know, first of all, you don't own the street. You know, you don't have the street. The street is like, oh, you have 2 hours. Shoot. And then there's no place to rehearsal. Yeah. So everything's like, okay, we're gonna walk through it. And okay, we come here and then we put the sign here. The people go crash it. It's the window. Somebody go crash in. So we just said, so that's how, you know, Jackie and Samo, they set up the pace and okay, this is, and then we go and just do it on set. You know, it's not rehearsal. Nothing rehearsal. Okay, put the table here. Guy from the carriage and just fall off and crash this. And then we put, one time I'm inside, up there and somebody fall. And then if not me, then I would be down below is the background people sit on the chair and just run away. You know, so we're jumping around. Everyone does everything.
Yeah.
So that's whole sequence and then fast because we don't own the street.
Wow.
The people, you know, we only few hours a day can do this, that. So, yeah, it's running around, gorilla style, but very cool, you know.
Yeah, and I know there's also a sequence in there where the carriage is going underneath the shops and the guy is smashing through the sign, yeah, I remember.
Those layers.
On top, city. Yeah.
Yeah, we stand it up and then he would build a sign and he was pushing the guy up and then crashing him. And then the next guy, I find inside the shop, you know.
Through the window.
The window. Yeah, all those.
Yeah.
But that's no rehearsal. None of one's rehearsal. You just go there, you set with the stunt and you do the stunt. So that kind of thing. And then I remember he running off the carriage and opened the door and the guy fall off and he got back in. So he jumped off into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the cable car, you know, the train, and then he put his window and do that, you know, come back in. So everything is
Right up against the window.
Yeah, happening there.
And how much of that was Jackie's idea and how much of that was like the stunt team idea, maybe collaborating with Jackie?
Yeah, collaborating, but that mostly is him, you know, he's amazing. Like, that's the first time I worked with him. I'm a newcomer, you know, who just sit back and just waiting for order. But I can see he had a good idea. And also Samuel, you know, he's a director. So they work together really well. They know each other so well. So he know what he can do. Mm. It's really cool to see that collaboration. But then also some part, Samuel go do more drama and then he do some scene without Jackie and Jackie would do his own scene. If you remember, one of the sequences is the construction. In the construction fight scene, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I wanted to move on to next, actually.
That way!
The construction fight scene.
Yeah, construction fight scene is one of the experiences, the biggest, you know, at first time learn somebody is control everything. He decide everything. It's Jackie, you know. I remember when we did the fight scene, we went there. This is a one fight scene so far to today. First, I think it's never had one time. We have 2.5 days not working. We go there, waiting the whole morning, early morning, go there. We dry the floor. Because the construction is not finished. So after nighttime, they always get wet and moisture. And now we have to dry all the floor. And then we dry it a couple hours. And then waiting for Jackie to have idea how to do the fight. And then the first day, he looked like thinking. He kind of sleeping, thinking, and then wake up. And then lunch, after lunch, he say, okay, wrap. So nobody do anything. We wrap the first day.
Mm.
And then next day, same thing, we dry the floor in the morning, we burn, we're using fire, you know, torture and dry the floor and make sure no wet and we waiting for him and he, after lunch, okay, let's wrap. So second day, we wrap. So 2 days, not even, never even go off the truck. So 2 days waiting for idea, crap.
Wow.
Third day, same thing in the morning, dry the floor. We do exactly same thing 3 days. and then after lunch, and he said, he's like, he just wake up. It's like, oh, I got an idea. So then we start shooting. So 2.5 days, not shooting, not even pull the camera. And then when he have the whole sequence, start shooting. So this is the first, you know, my experience till today, still never had one time I have this experience. Someone like a director would say, I'm not shooting today, go. Not shooting today, 3 days.
So that's never happened after that?
No.
Really?
No. Not in Hollywood production or whatever. They have all planned. They go there, they know exactly how many set up, how many day, how many things. That is totally go by fine, you know, Hong Kong style, you know, create on the set and decide. And then he cannot come up with the idea, then just go. And then go, second day, third day. So no prep. We don't even know what we're doing. So nobody would know, okay, we need the table, we need the chair. So we're just waiting for his idea. And then when he have idea, oh, I need a hole. I need a, you know, air boom. I want a hole. I want this machine.
Yeah.
So everything, and then they bring into it. And then, oh, I want to strap this guy in the hand. And then the thing, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, you know, the funny thing. And then I want this thing and put the guy into it.
Yeah.
Everything is suddenly he look at all the thing and then come up with. That's a really cool experience.
Does that normally happen to you where you can't think of an idea, maybe something similar, and you have to wait it out like that?
No, I wish I had that power.
Yeah.
And that's power. And no, I don't have it. I have, you know, sometimes, you know, of course, but we will go see. My first thing, like, to do the scene, I always want to make sure I see the location, make sure I know what they look like, and then come up to the idea, and then come up with you know, based on the story and character. But then location is very important. But yeah, I don't have, I wish I have that, you know, like, oh, I don't think.
Yeah.
No. I have to come up with something. But yeah, normally, like, been a long time in Hollywood, you know, I see the prepping is very important. So that's why Hong Kong style is really good. But the horror style is good too. So now I learned both. So I know how important the prep, and then how important, you know, the input or Hong Kong style on set go by five. But those cannot learn, you know, you just have to have many experience and knowledge and
quick brain.
The quick thinking. I don't know how to teach you. Oh, you gotta have that. So, and then a lot of people, they don't have confidence. They what they thinking right there, they believe that. So that's a different for me to see the two different style. One is super confident. They know exactly what they want and they believe it, and they don't doubt themselves. Hollywood style or prepping, sometimes when you have a prep time, you can prep and then you go back to look at, oh, maybe I can do this better. Then you change it. Then you go back and sometimes not shooting. Oh,
critique. Yeah, problem.
So that's the downside, because you keep changing. You change because you have time to prep. You can thinking, oh, maybe better. You think it's better? You think it's better? Or sometimes the organic is better. Right there and then happening. So it's a lot of stuff for me. I feel organic is cool because, like, I thought the punch you react, you bought like this. So then, so natural and so cool. But then now, maybe I bought like this. Oh, how about this? How about this? How about that? How about this? How about that? How about that? Which one's good? Oh, no, it's all good.
So you like a little bit of a mixture.
It got to be kind of, you know, because for me, before you go to the audience, make the audience happy. I think for the worker, for people, you also want the exciting. So in the way, when you have all the prep, you have all the previous, everyone already know the scene. Everyone see like thousand times. So when you finish the product, they know it's supposed to look like this. You already know.
Yeah, this is what it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
In the Hong Kong way, or you know, I say not just the Hong Kong, or in the organic way, when you so organic, nobody know what is supposed. So you're doing something, and then after, then when you see the result, oh wow, maybe it's surprising them too. So it's like a joke, you know. I tell you what is funny. Now I tell you, you're laughing, and then tomorrow I tell you the same joke. You probably may be laughing. And then third day, and then you don't laughing anymore.
Laugh a little bit less.
Right? So for me, I think it's really, really like based on, you know, what you can do. I think organic style sometimes keep everyone, including the worker, surprised. So that kind of real reaction. You know, when you have too much prepping time and thinking about it, and possible the negative things start coming. People don't react that. Oh, maybe this is not cool. So then you start thinking. Then you start doubting. Then you start changing. So it kind of like, it could be perfect, but what is the perfect? That is the problem. What is the best Brock? This or this or this or this? Very hard, you know. So maybe the whole thing is so cool, but maybe, you're changing, keep changing, and then you find one really cool. But then the very cool is already cool out already. People already, we're doing this, you know, we know that.
Yeah. That's true.
If you liked that, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/actionfilmmaking and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Stay up to date on the show by visiting our website, actiondecoded.com, and by following us on Instagram @actionfilmmakingpodcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.